All right. Hey, we got some sound coming through. Just double checking on this. And, okay. Oh, we're still working on this. But I'm going live, Fritz Bergen, bloodandfaith.com. All right. Is that better? Okay. Sensitive mic. All right, I'll bring it down a hair. All right, here we are. Fritz Bergen, bloodandfaith.com. And we've got an interesting show, I hope, for you tonight. I'm going live. I mean, why not? I'm going live, and if those are out there on Podbean land, they can hear me going live. Hey, welcome to my Friday night radio show. My name is Fritz Bergen. I have been around a long time. I got a PhD in history. I'm a family man, Christian, and we're going to talk tonight about the mixing of kinds, also known as human-alien hybrids. We're going to talk about the purge, which is forcing political free thinkers into poverty. We're going to talk about the danger of joining big organizations. Instead, you should go local, go meet space. And we're going to talk about Rebel Leader One. Jesus Christ was the original insurrectionist against Satan's army. And so here we go. Yeah, Fritz Bergen, bloodandfaith.com. It's Friday night. It's the 15th of October. I, like probably most of you, I enjoy going to movies. I saw James Bond the other night. And I made a comment the other day, and I said, you know, it's really interesting when you see how many movies are out there that talk about human alien hybrids, or the arrival of space aliens coming down to Earth, or the appearance of Superman on Earth to save mankind. And I don't know if this is a new trope or not. In some ways, yes, in other ways, no, and we'll get into that a little bit. But I wanted to mention a few movies that you're familiar with. And some, you know, this isn't just aliens, but it's non-human life forms that appear on Earth. Sometimes they're here to help. Sometimes they're here to destroy. And it is a growing, I don't know, I guess, you know, when I see things like this, it's almost like it's an effort to evangelize people. And make no mistake, all movies, all TV, all literature, all communication is an attempt to evangelize people. This is why it is such a threat when somebody comes along and says something out of tune. This is why it fundamentally threatens the powers that be when somebody has got a different narrative and like, oh my God. He's countering our evangelism. And this is as old can be. I mean, if you want to know who the number one practitioner of countering the narrative was, it's Jesus Christ. That's why they murdered him. Let's be clear. Jesus Christ was murdered because he countered the narrative. He countered the control. And the Jews were very clear. We got to kill this guy. Otherwise, we're going to lose our nation and our power. They said it. They said it out loud. They said it right there in Holy Scriptures. And they are of their father, the devil, according to Jesus Christ, John 8:44, Revelation 2:9, Revelation 3:9. And Jesus Christ came to destroy the works of the devil. So as you go through life, do not think that you're smart enough to figure it all out. None of us are. Eve fell into that deception. Eve fell into the deception where she believed the devil. First of all, Satan comes along and said, hey, Eve, you want to be smarter than everybody else? Don't you want to like figure things out for yourself, be a free thinker? And she's like, yeah, that'd be cool. So we'll go eat that fruit. Okay. And she did. She was utterly deceived. Part of being deceived is you think you're right. And so Eve was deceived, and she ate the fruit, and you know, things began to unravel at that point. Let me read off a few movies, and you tell me what you think. We've got the Terminator. Here's a non-human life form. These machines seem to go from less human to more human as the series progressed. And they're utterly destructive of humankind. Utterly, completely destructive of humankind. Without mercy, hesitation, remorse, empathy, or feeling. How about Blade Runner? I like Blade Runner. I've always enjoyed Blade Runner. The original one, Harrison Ford. And he is, it's a very layered movie. And at the end, you're scratching your head. It's like, well, who is the hybrid life form and who is the human? Which is kind of the whole point of the movie and the book by Philip K. Dick. And then there's a sequel out to it. Blade Runner 2049, I think it is. And you look at the characters in the movie, and some are, human. They're not human. They're some sort of life form that looks and acts humans. And then you've got the humans that are supposed to track down and get rid of the alien life forms. And then in this particular movie, there's a combination. It goes back to the original Blade Runner, where Harrison Ford runs off with Rachel, his the alien or the non-human life form that looks very lifelike, very beautiful woman. And it turns out in the later movie, Blade Runner 2049, they got a kid. They had a kid together. So you got a mixing of human and non-human with the new life form emerging. And then there is a battle between the non-humans and the humans for control. It seems like the non-humans at that point had had the upper hand. And then you've got these hybrids that are going to say, we want our freedom. We don't want to be slaves anymore. And we're going to rise up and overthrow the old order. Fascinating stuff, fun stuff. But there you go again. You've got humans mixing with a different kind. Now, step back for a moment, and if you had a Sunday school education, and this is a theme that I'm going to keep talking about. If you had a Sunday school education, you should have an idea that the mixing of kinds is inappropriate. In fact, it is an inversion of God's order. When God created the heavens and the earth, he created the plants and the animals and the trees. He very specifically said, they will bring forth fruit after their own kind. They're going to bring forth fruit after their own kind. So fish bring forth fish. Salmonids bring forth salmonids. Sharks bring forth sharks. Horse-like creatures bring forth horse-like creatures. Canines bring forth canines. And, of course, in the canine family, you've got a whole variety of different kinds of canines, from a poodle to a wolf, and everything in between, a chihuahua. But they're all canines, and they're actually the same kind. And you don't intermix them. In fact, this is, when people talk about evolution, the traditional theory of evolution, it's fundamentally a mixing of kinds. And that the kinds have no separation. There is no separation of kinds in the theory of evolution. Imagine you had already reached the state of being slime mold in some pond. And then you become, I don't know, a periwinkle, then a salamander, then a snake, then a, I don't know, crocodile, then a dog, then a horse, then a monkey, then a man. And this is a mixing of kinds. Obviously, this is a little oversimplification, but it's still the same. You have a mixing of kinds. There is no fine line between one kind and another. And they evolve, and they morph, and they change. And according to the grand theory of evolution, they go from a lower life form to a higher life form. Now, this is a complete and utter deception. It's completely and utterly wrong. It's an inversion of the truth of God. It's deception. And yet, the majority of so-called intellectual, Westerners, secular Westerners, buy into this stuff. They buy into the idea that entropy works in reverse, that life comes from non-life, and that there's no, that there is a mixing of kinds, yet without any proof that life comes from non-life or that entropy works in reverse. In fact, if, you know, people like to say, look at the fossil record, you have to look at the fossil record. All right, let's look at the fossil record. Where's the missing link? Of course, the answer is there are no missing links. The different kinds emerge in full form. There's no missing link between the different kinds. Now, there may be variation within a kind, but there's no link between the kinds. And there's other scholars that have done great research on the on something called irreducible complexity. You can't go from this stage to that side without having all the pieces perfectly fit together in an insanely intricate and perfect manner. Whether that's the eyeball functioning or the inner ear with the three little bones in there working away. There's no mechanism to by chance have those bones come in perfectly formed all by themselves. There's no mechanism for this. And yet we believe the big lie. We also believe the big lie that there's no Lucifer and there's no Satan. And that is a big lie. So Blade Runner. How about Superman? Here's an alien, space alien, comes down to Earth, and he's going to save mankind. How about the, you know, Thor? Thor is another guy. He's a space alien, and he comes down, and he's going to save mankind. And then there's good aliens, and there's bad aliens, the Avengers series. And there's all manner of movies and books out there that I've completely mixed. But in the popular mind, there's a growing sense that there are UFOs and that there's space aliens, there's creatures from outer space, and it's all scientifically explainable. And you go back and you look at, there's a movie, I think it was called Prometheus, but the theme of the movie, a major theme of that movie, was the seeding of planets, such as planet Earth, by these space aliens. But these space aliens come sailing through the galaxy and boom, they're going to drop a little bit of DNA down there and all of a sudden life starts blossoming on an otherwise barren planet. Of course, you saw this with Space Odyssey 2001. Opening scene. You got some monkeys running around and all of a sudden they find this obelisk. And the obelisk starts making music, and these monkeys change, and their brain capacity explodes, and next thing you know, they're blasting off into outer space. And then from outer space, you've got the computer talking to the astronaut. Astronaut's in trouble, and the astronaut starts floating around in space, and he meets some sort of higher life form, and then he's born again into some kind of supernatural, spiritual, hybrid space god. And it's all fun, it's all fascinating. But there's a consistent theme there. There's a mixing of kinds, and there's the introduction of non-human life into humans. And if you had your Sunday school education, which is what we need in a Christian culture, in a Christian nation, which is what I'm all about, you would know that kinds don't mix, should not mix in God's order. You would know from the Holy Scriptures that you don't purposely mix kinds. Even something as simple as there's a reference, I think it's in Leviticus, create something with linen and wool together. All right, you know, woe is an animal. Linen is a plant. You don't mix plants and animals. And people say, oh, that's silly. You know, I like my linen and wool shirt. Listen, there's a deeper, much deeper principle there. You're mixing kinds. And then you had the story, Genesis chapter 6, verse 1. You had the angelic watchers come down, and they mated with women. And they produced, you know, the gods of old, the great and mighty giants of old that had supernatural powers. That was a mixing of kinds. And there's a reference in Jude to that, on that, how that was an abomination. And then we see how God utterly destroyed the old world and wiped out those giants, those evil ones of old, and the bloodline, the corrupted bloodline. Noah had a pure bloodline. He had a good bloodline that wasn't corrupted. And he started over with Noah and his three sons. And those beings, those evil beings, were condemned to hell. So now you turn on the TV and you watch Ancient Aliens, and there's a reintroduction of the idea of non-human, supernatural, godlike life that comes down from the heavens in one way or another, mixes with mankind. And you've got everything from stories about people getting, the body snatchers, the UFOs take these people up into their space aliens and they experiment on them, and many times it's of a sexual nature. And, you know, some of you know what I'm talking about. You've read the books. You've seen the TV shows. And this idea has exploded in my lifetime. And it's funny. You know, you tell somebody, you know what, Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. And you're like, nah, that's impossible. And yet tomorrow or today they say, oh, I absolutely believe in UFOs. I believe in UFOs. I believe in space aliens. I believe that it's just a matter of, you know, next month or next week or next year that it's all going to be revealed. And yet they're incapable of believing that God created the heavens and the earth, or that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin woman. It shows the fickleness of mankind to pick and choose what he believes in. Ultimately, the deception of the evil one is to grant unto mankind a lie, the lie of godhood for himself, an existence without accountability, a self-centered existence where we are not accountable to a creator. We are self-existing, and we are wise, and we can do as we so choose. This is the lie that Lucifer has offered to mankind, starting with Eve. And we yearn for it. Eve yearned for it. And rebellious mankind, like the rebellious serpent, Satan, Lucifer, the devil, the viper, the snake of old, the dragon, that's what he wants, an unaccountable existence to do as he so pleases. He wants to be equal with the Most High. Well, the introduction of non-human life into humans not only mixes the kinds, but in the imagination of mankind, it offers us the ability to continue our own self-directed evolution. And so I sense a great openness in the heart of mankind for this potential. Yet not understanding that if there's evil ones coming, they're the same evil ones from thousands of years ago. And they would love to lead mankind down that path of evil. And the end of that path, there's nothing but death and destruction. At the end of the day, all Satan can do is destroy human beings. Murder, molestation, lies, and destruction. And that's where it will end. Now, this isn't merely an academic thought project. I'm also concerned about the mixing of kinds with our so-called vaccines. And I hadn't spent much time thinking about this until I was forced to, because I have an employer that would coerce me into getting an injection of some substance into my body. And I started, tends to concentrate the mind. And one of my questions is, what are you putting into me? And we all have heard of mRNA, Moderna, and these vaccines. Ones developed in Europe and the United States have something to do with messenger RNA that supposedly tells our DNA what to produce. And I'm like, okay, well, that's interesting. And apparently, COVID is a modification of a life form into a different life form. Is it a mixing of kinds? I don't know. I'm not saying it is. But again, I do not know what they're doing. Is mRNA a mixing of kinds? I don't know. But again, I don't know what they're doing. It's been said, and I just learned this recently, forgive me for my ignorance, that many, many vaccines are developed using aborted fetal tissue. Heck, human embryo kidneys. And my stance on abortion is that this is the human sacrifice. It's the sacrifice of live innocent children to Satan. It goes all the way back to the ancient practice of Moloch. Satan himself, and the parents would take a baby and essentially burn him alive before the god Moloch, and they would take the drums and beat the drums so loud that they would try to drown out the screaming of the children. And abortion is not just a woman's choice. I mean, I get the whole argument, not going to try to rehash that. But there's another aspect that you have to think about. The abortion industry is the practice of live human sacrifice of the firstborn children to Satan. It's live human sacrifice of the firstborn innocent children to Satan. And what God Almighty says in the Word, He says, all those that open the womb, the firstborn belong to me. They belong to me. God says, the firstborn belong to me. Yet with the abortion, it's a human sacrifice of innocent children, of the firstborn unto Satan. Since 1972, there's been 70 million child sacrifices of the firstborn to Satan. In China, it's over 300 million live human sacrifices of innocent firstborn children unto Satan himself. This is what the abortion industry is. And they make millions and millions of dollars. And they sell the human body parts, and they're modifying human beings through the use. Look it up. Look up. See if your vaccine has HEK in it. HEK followed by some numbers. And they say, well, that's a specific fetal line that was from a 1960s elective abortion, and, you know, blah, blah, blah. It's okay now. Well, the implication of that is, I mean, so you're trying to tell me that this kid that was sacrifice to Satan in the 1960s. You've somehow kept portions of that child alive since the 1960s, and you continue to use his genetics in order to create other substances to modify human beings. And now you take that sacrifice to Satan, a blood sacrifice of the firstborn unto Satan, and you're using that to create substances to go into human beings to potentially, now they say it doesn't do this, so I'm not saying it is, but potentially modify DNA. They do say we use modified RNA. So they modify RNA, messenger RNA, to go and tell the DNA how to do something different that it would not otherwise do. Well, what does that mean? Well, if they can do that to create spike proteins, can't they do that for any other thing as well? If they can modify a bat virus into something different, can they not modify a human being to become different? And what I'm getting at is the answer is yes. And that really is the whole point. And of course, it's all done in the name of improving the original product. Let's move on to humanity 2.0, then 3.0, then 4.0. And if you dig into the literature, you don't need me to tell you how to Google stuff up. But if you can modify human DNA, perhaps mix it with other, I don't know, products, byproducts of other life forms, including sacrifices to Satan, can you not change the human DNA, change what a human being is? These are the things that we need to think about. And if you had a Sunday school education in these topics, you should already say, wait a minute, hold on a second here. I'm not comfortable with that. The Bible says that God created the kinds to reproduce after their own kind and not to mix the kinds. Don't even mix linen and wool. Don't mix animals and plants. We know that God destroyed the old world because of the mixing of kinds, where the space aliens come down, the watchers, the angelic beings, the fallen angels come down and they pick the best looking women, whomsoever they chose, married, not married, didn't matter to them. They don't care about that. And so these godlike beings come down, mate with females, and produce the mighty men of old. And there's evidence that all the bloodlines were corrupted, even animal bloodlines were corrupted. And that's why you can go back and you can look at the old world. And you look at things like the Sphinx and say, how can you have not only a cat, but a giant cat with a human head on it? These people were having fantasies. Maybe not. Maybe they really existed. Maybe they were part of this mixing of kinds project that these fallen angels had. You have stories of the old gods. You know, whether it's Thor or Loki or, you know, Apollo or Zeus or Hercules. Well, he was the son of this god. She was the son of that god. Maybe those aren't just stories that men made up because they were bored. Maybe those were real events, real people, real things, however distant in the past they were. And I would also say that the human past is not as old as they claim it is. It wasn't that many thousands of years ago that they had these kinds of gods on Earth. And now, is there not a yearning for a return of these gods? Whether you watch it on Ancient Aliens on TV, or Superman, or the Avengers, or Blade Runner, a mixing of kinds, a superior product. What are these COVID vaccines going to do? Now, I know, I got it. I can hear you saying it already. Oh, you're crazy. You're a conspiracy theorist. You're a lunatic. What can they put in these vaccines that will fundamentally change your DNA? And how far away from today is that possible? Now, there's a lot of people that are saying, absolutely, it's possible, and we absolutely welcome it, and we want that to happen. We want to self-direct our own evolution and change the kind, whether we have to mix ourselves with another creature or not, swap out DNA parts with some other life form. And this is where a Christian nation, a Christian civilization, a Christian culture will say, no, never, never will I do that. You're opening up the door to evil. You really want these beings? Be careful what you hope for. All the ancient world feared these giants. A giant just doesn't mean just large, but he had supernatural powers. All right. That put that one to bed, didn't it? That's a lot to think about. Let's talk about the purge. Let's talk about the ongoing purge in the United States, presumably in other parts of the old and dying Christendom, which shall see a revival. Christendom shall see revival. Go read. Let me see if I can pull this up. Hang on. Now, I don't want to go and mess with your theology and screw up all the theology that you learned for the last 40 years from your mom and your grandma about Gog and Magog and all that stuff. But why don't we go ahead and do that anyway? What if the dead and dying bones are actually the dead, dry bones of Christendom? Ezekiel 36:37. What if those are the dead and dying bones of... Oh, let's see here. Let me see if I can pull it up. Ezekiel 37. He set me down in the valley that was full of bones. What if those dry bones are actually Christendom? The ancestors of Christendom. The descendants of Christendom. Imagine that. And God's going to bring a great revival amongst the descendants of Christendom. Let's just put that aside. It's a thought. I was thinking about that today. Right now in the United States, we have massive political purge. Massive. And it's a multi-front purge. Now, I've often noted over the years, we live in a religious system. I call it the cult. But we live in a religious system, and we have religious leaders, and there's a very strict orthodoxy over our society, and it's led by the priests and prophets of our civilization. They have their cathedrals, and they're called the universities. And the priests and prophets of this cult are the university professors. They're extraordinarily insular, extraordinarily arrogant, self-selecting, and protective of their orthodoxy. And if you dare cross them or contradict them, they will do everything in their power to crush you. And this is why you have a very rigorous selection policy of who gets to be a priest and a prophet in these religious institutions. You can't just show up and say, hey, I want to go teach at the University of Washington. I'm really super smart. I've written 16 books. No. No. Have you gone to the approved seminaries? Have you gone to the approved cult schools? Who was your cult teacher? Was your cult teacher from an approved school? Was your professor from an approved cultic organization? Did you publish your books through the approved cult publishers? Of course, they don't call it cult publishers, but that's the effect. And if you have not, well, who are you? You're outside of the religion. You're not part of our religion. You're a heretic. Get out of here. And they look down the nose at you, and they shoo you off as just a crank, conspiracy theorist, wacko, uneducated, unintelligent. And they really believe this. They really feel this way about it. And so these institutions have self-selecting procedures that are extraordinarily effective at keeping out light and truth, essentially. And you have the same thing in, oh, I'll just call them different organizations. And they'll say, we need to make sure that these potential employees are okay. And so they do their background checks on you and make sure that you're okay. And then that is ongoing for the rest of your employment to keep control over you. Unless, of course, you're already at the very top of the pie and you get a pass on all that. Witness some of our political leaders today. But the actual functionaries that make the organization work must be submissive and must obey. Now, we've reached a point in the United States of America where that system is no longer sufficient to impose the kind of absolute and total control that they demand to have. And so they're going to purge anybody that dares stand up and think for themselves. To heck with the Bill of Rights, to heck with the freedom of speech, to heck with anything and everybody. They yearn for submissive minions that would then in turn force everybody else to be submissive minions. And it's a multi-pronged approach. You've seen how the Department of Defense is purging. Of course, they've got names for it. They call them, domestic extremists. HHS is the biggest crime out there. The biggest plague right out there is misinformation. And so you've got these global behemoths. They're essentially subsidiaries of the government, or perhaps the governments are subsidiaries to them. But they have this incestuous relationship between Facebook and the government, between Google and the government, YouTube and the government, Microsoft and the government. And they're able to say Twitter and the government, yeah, you got the wrong speech. It's not permitted, and we're going to shut you down. Utterly incestuous. It's part of the control. Then you have certain so-called private organizations. I could say that they're nothing more than front organizations for different political entities that may not even be in the United States, some of them. And they banter about and parade about as if they are God's holy righteousness in incarnate form. And they claim to be the embodiment of morality and righteousness and holiness. And they go around telling people what they can say and can't say. And it's usually for their own good, to the detriment of others. It has nothing to do with being fair or balanced or equal. It's simply a power play to destroy those they hate and to protect their own position and to advance their own interests and to extract rents from people they don't care about. And so they pressure these organizations to do their bidding as well. Well, the other prong right now is let's see who the dissenters are. Who is it that won't obey? Well, let's get everybody vaccinated. Let's inject substances into their bodies that will tell their DNA what to do. We're gonna we've done the voluntary thing, but no, it was never supposed to be voluntary in the first place. We demand 100%. And so now, it without even a pretense of a law, there's not even the pretense of a law. There's an executive order from the President of the United States that basically says, if you don't get the jab, you're going to lose your job. And this is tyranny. There's no other way to put it. And for some people, that might be a cute term that's loaded. But to tell somebody they must take a substance into their body, not knowing what it is, with zero long-term testing, zero, and that substance has an open-ended definition, it could change tomorrow without our notice. The booster shots could change tomorrow. The frequency of the booster shots could change tomorrow. And we're coerced into submitting to essentially limitless substances. I don't even want to call it a vaccine because clearly it does not vaccinate. Clearly it does not prevent the acquisition of COVID. That's extraordinarily clear for the rest of our lives. And by the way, a side benefit of this is if you stand up and say no, oh, that's good. Thank you so much for applying for an exemption. Thank you so much for saying no. Now we know exactly who we need to get out of any positions of influence, and we need to relegate them into poverty so they have no effect whatsoever on society. So they cannot provide leadership. They cannot provide influence. They cannot be a role model. They need to be shunted aside, shamed, and forced into submission as an example to everybody else so that they fear the government. They fear the authorities. Absolute subjugation. Servileness. And so the vaccine has multiple purposes. One, it's a very potentially a possible future vector of introducing substances that fundamentally change who we are and how our bodies operate, altering our DNA potentially, changing what a human being is. It could increase our intelligence. It could decrease our intelligence. It could increase our fertility. It could remove our fertility. It could make us more resistant to diseases. It could make us infinitely open to disease, especially if it's designed to be an attack vector for something that was specifically modified. Once you start chopping up and rearranging DNA, whoa, boy. People focus on the positive, but man, as we've seen right in front of our eyes, the negatives are stunningly dangerous. And yet for some reason, we have wandered down this path for 2 years and seem ignorant of the fact that this COVID disease was a chopped up piece of DNA let loose in the wild. And now it is, it's changed the world. It's changed the world just like that. People get sick, people die. And this is done by, I don't know, are we just beginners at this? What's the technology going to be like in a year or 2 years or 5 years? And if they chopped up this little chunk of DNA and it got loose out there and it goes all around the world in a matter of months, what's the next chopped up piece of DNA going to look like? What's it going to do? If they can modify a SARS-2 virus and be that specific about it, can't they change that and modify it to only affect maybe one ethnicity or one gender for that matter? Maybe do specific things to a particular gender. Latest James Bond movie delves into this. Don't want to give you the spoiler on that, but it does talk about biological weapons. I love to talk about it, but go see the movie. If you can modify some bat virus to make it something else and have it affect the whole world just like that, what do you think the next step is? Take this out 25 years. Got a problem with overpopulation? Hey, come and get your booster shot. We'll take care of that right now. Let alone things going off track. I don't think anybody thinks that things were exactly on track with this whole COVID pandemic, knowing that it was a modified virus. I'm not sure anybody wanted what happened. But man, it happened, didn't it? And now you're going to go down this road? And the answer is, yeah, we're going to go down this road. The world is going to go down this road. There's no recorking the bottle. Champagne bottle's been popped, baby. There's no putting that cork back in. It's already overflowing. And if it's not the Chinese, it'll be the North Koreans or somebody else. Blofeld. I don't know. Pick your evil guy. Humans are amazing. Humans are amazing. Eve was amazing. Eve knew she shouldn't have done what she did, yet she did it anyway. Eve knew she should not have gone down that path, but she did it anyway. Out of her own vanity and her own arrogance and her own willingness to be deceived, she went down that path anyway. So it's going to happen. Modified human genetics. Some may do it for evil. Some may claim we're trying to save mankind and help them evolve to the next level. But it's a mixing of kinds. It's a yearning to become more than we are. And it's a wonderful tool to figure out who's going to resist it. Now that we've made it mandatory, stand up, raise your hands, file for a religious exemption. Or just say, I'm not going to get the vax, and we will fire you. Now, I don't know the numbers, but we've seen how the pilots at Southwest Airlines said, we're not flying anymore. We've seen that have an effect. You will not find in the mainstream press or even from DOD the number of people that are going to be forced out. You won't see it because they don't have an interest in sharing that. You won't see the number of airline pilots who have health issues now and can't fly, or the number of special forces soldiers that won't go overseas. That was in the news. You got Navy SEALs that said, I'm not getting the vax. Do what you want with me. I'm not going to get it. Nurses and doctors, by the hundreds, by the thousands, by the tens of thousands, add it all up. The military, airline pilots, nurses, doctors, corporate workers, bureaucrats, teachers. If you had an enemy take and wipe out 10% of your most important people in the nation and say they are no longer mission effective. That would be an utter act of war that would demand an immediate and fearsome response. If the Chinese or the Russians figured out a way to take out 10% of our, I don't know, pick a field, firefighters, police officers, special forces, pilots, doctors, nurses, it would be an act of war demanding immediate response. And yet, this government is doing this to ourselves. And you go, this is going on right now in our lives. It's forcing people into submission. It's getting rid of all the people with enough courage to say no and to stand up for liberty, stand up against tyranny, stand up for just humanity, Christian or not. One of the greatest voices against this is Naomi Wolf. You've heard me talk about her before. Lesbian, Democrat, female, Jewish, and she's been running around with her hair on fire saying this is the absolute road to tyranny. This is as bad as Adolf Hitler. Look her up, Naomi Wolf. Completely other side of the tracks as me, but she's going, this is evil. This is fundamentally evil what we're doing. And they wrote her off 6 months ago. You're nuts, lady. You're crazy. This will never happen. Well, and it's happening. It's not only is happening, but it's happened. 6 months ago, it was unthinkable. Today, it's what's going on. So you don't have to be on the political right. Go look up Naomi Wolf. And this is what's going on. So this is forcing the entire population of the world, essentially, to submit to substances that tell our DNA what to do. That is clear. That's why it's modified RNA. Modified RNA, it goes in there, it tells the DNA what to do. Now, their only thing that they can say today is, oh, but it's helpful. Liars one, liars all. You don't know that it's helpful. We don't know what this is going to look like 20 years from now. What we do know is you start messing with the DNA, you get trouble. Whether it's accidental or purposeful, nobody knows. And this isn't the beginning of this. They've modified mosquitoes, let them go in Florida to, I don't know, they're supposed to do something down there. I forget what it was. And it all looks good until it goes bad. Well, it just went bad with COVID, and now we're going to double down and say the solution to modified DNA is to modify DNA some more? It seems to be where we are today. And, by the way, if you don't want your DNA being told what to do by a foreign substance injected into your body, we're going to remove you from any role in society and impoverish you. For starters, we don't know what's next. For starters, there's all kinds of little reports out there about camps being built. True or false, fake news, real news? You decide. You figure that out. You tell me. I know for a fact, firsthand knowledge, that well-meaning people have good plans to help out people that need help, and that includes giving them temporary housing. Can I say that as tactfully as that? And it's everything from temporary housing from Hurricane Katrina up to the current events, whether it's in this country or any country around the world. All right, what's next? A little bit of Marxism here. You know, how do you get to the end state? You've heard of the Hegelian dialectic, thesis, antithesis, synthesis. And take that a step further. Do you want to change the world? Then create a problem and then offer a solution. You want people to go live in tents? Hey, burn their house down. Oh, my God, your house is burning down. Oh, my God, it's just a horrible thing. Here's a tent you can live in, and we got lots of security to make sure you're safe. And they washed their hands and wiped their hands and said, well, we didn't burn your house down. We don't know how that happened. And you can do that on the scale of millions and of billions. You want people to obey? Introduce fear. Oh, my God, you have to submit and obey, otherwise you're going to die. And we have the solution for you to save your life if you'll just take this free injection. And this can be applied to anything. Let's extract more money from people. Okay, let's do that. How do we do that? Well, let's tell them if they don't spend more money on a car, they're going to die. So you have safety organizations that make these cars ridiculously expensive because you've got to add this and that and the other thing in order to make sure that you're as if you're in a cocoon in a car. Now, maybe that's great. And then the insurance companies come along and said, oh, well, yeah, and by the way, your rates are going to still go up anyway. Doesn't really matter. And on and on and on down the line. Utter lack of sovereignty, utter lack of liberty, controlled and manipulated along the way. And then you reduce the number of independently owned media outlets. A lot of this happened in the 90s. You used to be a law against the consolidation of radio ownerships under, you know, a limited number of owners. Good old Bill Clinton comes along and Congress with him. It's not just him. Congress had to pass a law too. And said, no, there's no more law against consolidation. One person can own all the radio stations in America. And I don't know. I think there's maybe two, maybe three large corporations that basically own all the radio stations in North America. Same radio shows, same talk shows, same people. You talk about control. When I grew up, Seattle had two independent newspapers. And, you know, 40 years before that, there was maybe five. Now there's one. And that happened in the 70s. One newspaper. Colorado Springs, there's one newspaper. How many in Washington, D.C.? I don't know, a couple. New York, a couple. How many major news networks are there? Well, what, MSNBC, CNN, Fox? I don't know. I'm sure I'm missing a couple. But most of the people in there come out of the same schools, have the same worldview, and are pushing the exact same agenda. It's control. It's political control even before people reach the polls. By the way, you can only vote for one of the two people, the Democrat or the Republican. And so you run those two organizations, and we'll say, you want chocolate or vanilla? And they're both really the same. They just look a little different. You want to vote for the guy in the blue shirt or the red shirt? But in our heart of hearts, they vote for the same stuff. That's why people are frustrated. The voting doesn't matter anymore. So they create a problem and said, oh, I'm going to solve the problem. Look at me, and here's the solution. Here's another little note. A danger of joining large organizations. You all have heard about the Three Percenters and Proud Boys and Oath Keepers. It turns out that there's anecdotal evidence that these are completely suborned by whomever, whatever police organization you want to call. And the evidence of that is the guys that got arrested on 4 January 6th were not the guys that were the head of the organization. In fact, New York Times even came out, published a story saying one of the head guys of one of these organizations, in fact, worked for or with the FBI. And, you know, you create a big organization, you say all the right words, and, you know, sign up right here. Don't sign up, man. Don't sign up. Local, 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 baby. Meet space. Know who you're talking to. Know who you're talking about. Even the NRA. I don't trust anybody anymore. If you want to do something different, look in the mirror and you do something different. What am I talking about? Do what? How about starting a blog? How about getting a Twitter account? How about getting an account on Gap? How about getting an email and sending stories to friends and family? At the end of the day, the fundamental principle of winning is ideas. And it goes right back to the very beginning of time. It goes right back to a story of Eve and the serpent. Serpent comes up, Eve, man, I got a good deal from you. I got a good deal for you, Eve. And Eve says, okay, I'll trust you, I'll believe you. And she wandered down that path. He didn't come up and bang her over the head with a rock and force her to sign something against her will. No, it was just seduction, information warfare, communication. What's the counter to that? Same thing. And this is why Rebel Leader One has already commanded us how to counter the effects of the evil one. Rebel Leader One has given us very clear instructions. The counter to their information warfare is truth. This is why Rebel Leader One said to all of us, to all the partisans, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every nation, and I'll be with you, showing signs and wonders. What's the gospel? Jesus Christ is Lord. Rebel Leader One, Jesus Christ is Lord. Satan is not, man is not, Jesus Christ is Lord. Don't mix the kinds. You want truth? He's given us truth in the Word of God. If you don't have that, well, you'll have what you have. You'll have what you got today. Local, local, local. Know who you're talking to. Know who you're talking about. Make your own decisions. Build your own little network, starting with you, your wife, and your kids. You can't trust the guy in the organization that you've never met before. He's not going to do anything for you but take your check for $25 and turn around and rat you out to the feds. Now, there are people that are going to play public roles. Me. Minor as I am, insignificant as I am, but my role is to do exactly what I'm doing, opening up my mouth and speaking. But everybody's got a role. Yet the people you speak to may be your immediate family. Your role may be forwarding emails or reposting tweets or gabs or blogging. But the number one thing that we have to do is have the courage to open up our mouths, type with our little fingers, and counter the disinformation with truth. Everything else is a false path. Everything else is completely and utterly secondary. Courage is primary. And that courage comes, what does the scripture say? If you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, and if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, you shall be saved. This isn't a religious message. This is a political message. Believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, and you'll be saved, you and your entire household. And we have not just your little, you know, your three-bedroom, two-bath home, but I want, how about your whole race? If we wake up from this deception, this self-deception, have the courage to speak the truth, follow our Savior and God, Jesus Christ, counter the different disinformation from the deceiver and from the evil one, and we will see results. We absolutely will. If you turn on the light, the darkness goes away. Now, the demons will scream. You may lose your job. People may hate your guts, but I got news for you. If they hate you for speaking the truth, they were never your friends in the first place. What's that? Dune. I love Dune. I read all the books, seen the sci-fi movie, seen both movies, looking forward to the next one. Fear is the mind killer. Fear is the mind killer. It's fear. Fear of death. Fear of loss of reputation. Fear of loss of money. Fear of death. And so you're frozen and paralyzed in fear. Courage is the quality of the day. How do you exhibit that courage? By opening up your mouth and speaking. And you can call it preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ or just say, no, I will not submit. I don't care if you're a good fat atheist. God bless Naomi Wolf. She has the courage to say, no, nope, nope, not going there. Female, lesbian, Democrat, Jewish. You know that ain't me, if you've been listening to me. But she's got the guts and the courage and the heart to say no. And so we're on the same side. Her and I are on the same side of this thing. And, you know, millions and millions and millions and tens of millions of other Americans as well. Wanted to close out a little bit with domestic terrorism and insurrection. And for that, we're going to go to Luke chapter 22. So here's the Sanhedrin. It's the leadership of the Jews. And, of course, they hate Jesus Christ because he's countering their narrative. He's countering their narrative. They bring him up. He says, are you the Son of God? And Jesus Christ said to him, yes, I am. Yes, I am. And they say, what further need do we have of any testimony? For we have heard it ourselves from his own mouth. So they wanted him dead. They bring him before Pilate. And here's the charge. We found this man, Jesus Christ, misleading our nation, forbidding to pay taxes to Caesar, and saying that he himself is Christ, a king. All right? Domestic terrorism. Insurrection right there. He's the king, not Caesar. Don't pay tax. We're supposed to pay tax. Misleading people, misinformation, fake news. Jesus Christ, the insurrectionist. Jesus Christ, the domestic insurgent. Jesus Christ, the domestic extremist. And they hated his guts. And they eventually murder him. Funny thing, though, is he gets up before Pilate. Pilate says, yeah, Jesus, you're the king of the Jews? Jesus says, yep. Pilate says, I find no guilt in him. I mean, it's almost humorous. You got to read it. Don't read it like a religious book, but oh my God. The Jews say, hey, he's a domestic terrorist. He's leading insurrection. He's misleading all the people. Fake news, false information. He's dangerous. Pilate says, are you the king of the Jews? Jesus says, yep. He says, no, he's innocent. He's good. It's hilarious. The Jews go on. They say, well, he stirs up the people, and he teaches them all over Judea, starting in Galilee, even to this place. Of course, we know what happens to him. Of course, after that happens to him, he rises from the dead. Revelator 1. All right, hey, listen. This thing's just starting, baby. This thing is just starting, and it's heating up quick. It's going fast. The middle's gone. You've already made a choice. 98% of you have already made a choice. If you're still the 2% in the middle, you know the right thing to do. And if you went to the other side, hey, I hate to bring up an old song from long times ago. There's two paths you can go down, but in the long run, there's still time to change the road you're on. Well, I disagree with that song. I used to listen to that song in the 70s, but that's a deception of the devil too. Yet I know there's people out there that are non-Christians. They're on the left. They've been in the cult their whole freaking life. Yet they know there's something wrong. They know there's something wrong. I had a hit piece put out on me, oh, I don't know, a month and a half ago, I guess. It's a completely unnecessary hit piece, but, you know, that's the nature of it, and you have to be willing to take that hit. And, you know, I had somebody reach out because, you know, it's just the hatred and the hate mail and the death threats. And I had somebody reach out to me who I've never met and I don't know. Don't know by name, don't know by, have no idea who this person was. And this person said, you know, I don't agree with what you say, but I really disagree with how they're handling this and how they're treating you. And, you know, on one hand, I, you know, that's, appreciate that and that's very nice. But what I'm getting at is people know there's something rotten. People know there's something amiss. And when I responded to this article, basically I said, listen, people are sick and tired of being told what to think. I don't care if you're straight or Jewish or homosexual or an Odin worshiper or a Thor worshiper, black, Mexican, whatever the heck you are. People are sick and tired of being told what they can say, what they can't say, what they can think, what they can cannot think, who they can associate with and who they can't associate with. Sick and tired of being told that they should apologize and be ashamed of being white, for one example. So I don't care where you fall out on this stuff. People are sick and tired of being told what they can think and not think. So if that's you, I encourage you to join the rebellion. Join the rebellion. How do you join the rebellion? Think for yourself. Just say no. Don't submit. Seek out the truth. Read the Bible. All right. You guys have a good weekend. I'll be back tomorrow. Fritz Bergeron, bloodandfaith.com. You can also find me at Podbean. That's probably where you're listening to this if you're live. I'm also on Gab at Cybertext, CYBERTEXT. All right, signing off for now. Out.